Let me encourage you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Tonight we are looking at this last section that we began this morning in verse 25, going down through to verse number 34. I want to encourage you to be reading Matthew chapter 7. We have one more chapter that we're going to be discussing on Sunday mornings as we conclude the Sermon on the Mount. We will be in chapter 7 for a couple weeks as we conclude that series. But I do want to encourage you to be reading ahead, thinking through some of these things. Matthew chapter 7 is a great chapter. All of the chapters here they're on the Sermon on the Mount are good, they're practical, they're thought-provoking. Well, tonight we are looking at a section that I believe challenges all of us. And I want to begin looking at the text tonight. And as we turn our attention to the text, I want to remind you of the general principle that we see here beginning at verse number 5. The general principle is this: don't worry. But when you look at verse number 5, in the original language, the Greek structure is very unique because it means stop worrying. That's the idea in the Greek language. Stop being anxious. Stop worrying about everything. But then when you go over to verse number 31, you will see that the Greek structure is a little different. And the idea there in verse number 31 is don't start worrying. If you're doing it, verse 25, stop. If you haven't started, don't, verse number 31. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. In essence, Jesus is saying don't worry about the basic essentials of this life. God will take care of that. Another point that I want you to consider as we begin looking at the text tonight from verse number 35 is I want you to notice how it begins. It begins with the word therefore. And as you study God's Word and when you see the word therefore, you need to stop and you need to look at the overall context, because the word therefore is pointing you back to something that Jesus previously taught. And it takes us back, I believe, to Matthew 6, 19 through verse number 24. And so some of these things can help us understand the overall context. And so as you consider the word therefore, it points us back to Matthew 6 verse 19, where Jesus instructs us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. And we can see that treasures on earth corrupt. Earthly treasures, beginning at verse number 22 and following, blind our spiritual perception, our spiritual vision. I like what Jesus says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your heart is where your treasure is. And we understand why Jesus is instructing us. As you think about what He is saying, we see that earthly treasures, seeking earthly treasures, leads to carnality. And we learn in Romans 8 verse number 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so if we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, that's where our heart will be. And if our heart is focused on the spiritual, our lives will be filled with the spiritual and everything else. And listen to me, when we're seeking the spiritual, everything else will work out. God won't disappoint you. As Jeremiah said long ago, as he looks at the heavens and the earth and how God created the heavens and earth, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32 verse 17, "There is nothing too hard for God." Let's remember that. Let's remember that God is the one that spoke this world into existence. And let's remember, God is promising to provide the necessities of this life. There is absolutely nothing that is too hard for God. But as we look at this context tonight, I'm going to give you three reasons for why we shouldn't worry. Why we shouldn't be anxious. Beginning at verse number 25, it's unnecessary because of your Father. We shouldn't worry because it is unnecessary because of our Heavenly Father. Beginning at verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious about your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Look at verse number 26, the first illustration or the first reason why we shouldn't worry. "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better? Are ye not," of some translations, "more value than they?" You should think about this in a very practical way. Our children are not going to worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear. They know that their parents or their grandparents, they're going to take care of them. And so they have no anxiety whatsoever about the basic things of this life. And that teaches us, as God's children, a very powerful lesson. God is going to provide for us. And we shouldn't worry, again, about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. That's God's area. And that's what God has promised us to do. Don't worry about the basics of this life. It's unnecessary because of your Heavenly Father. And as I said, Jesus, beginning at verse number 26, is going to give us three illustrations. One from food, verse 26. One from the future, verse number 27. And then one from fashion, verse number 28. But here in verse number 26, He talks about the birds. I believe what Jesus is doing here is He's giving the people and He's giving us an object lesson. You can only imagine Jesus standing there and teaching the people and looking up into the heavens and seeing the birds in the air and pointing to the birds. Look at the birds that are in the heavens. Every bird is a powerful object lesson. Every bird that lives in the world lives because of God who created it. And listen, God doesn't just create something like the birds. He sustains them. He provides. He takes care of them. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Psalms and turn over to Psalm 147. I want you to notice a passage with me here in Psalm 147, verse number 9. Go ahead and mark your place there in Matthew chapter 6 and turn back to the Old Testament in Psalm 147, verse number 9. And listen to what the psalmist declares about God. Psalm 147, verse 9. "He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." God, again, is the one that provides as the Creator. And what you see is this: the Creator gives the mother the instinct to bring food. It gives the bird instinct to build a nest. God gives birds the instinct to migrate to another area, listen to it, at the precise time. God is using an object lesson here, looking at the birds in the air to teach us spiritual truths. And as you think about this, we understand that it will never rain worms. Birds have to work very hard in order to feed the babies. But they work within the framework that God has designed. But it's all God's working. It's all of God's doing. And the lesson is very clear. It's not hard to understand what Jesus is saying at the end of verse number 26. Are ye not much better? Are ye not of more value than they? The point is clear. If God takes care of the birds that are in the air, He's going to take care of His children, who've been created in His own image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You can't say that about the birds of the air, and yet God provides for them. But you and I have been created in the image of God, and God wants us to know that we don't have to worry about the basics, the necessities of this life. Because God says, I'm going to take care of you. Now again, we have to do our part, and we have to work within the framework that God has designed, a lot like birds. You can't just sit there and hold your mouth open like a baby bird does and expect for God to provide for you. You have to work within the framework that God has designed. Common sense, you see. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6, God says, part of His design, His framework, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. But God's the one that has designed this. God's the one that has put all of this together. He is the one that sustains us. And I was talking to Brother Sam. He mentioned a verse this morning that I was planning on mentioning tonight. Psalm 37, verse 25. Where David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of His people. And so we shouldn't worry about the basic things of this life. You don't have to worry about running out of resources. You know, a lot of people, they're worried about that. They're worried about running out of water, running out of food. Again, this is God's area. God says, I will provide. God says, I will take care of you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. And then in verse number 27, the second illustration, one from the future. Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can add one single hour to his span of life? Which of you worrying can lengthen your life? Listen, worrying about how long you're going to live isn't going to lengthen your life. If anything, worrying about it is going to shorten your lifespan. You realize doctors have even pointed this out. What worrying, what anxiety does to the physical body affects the circulation of the heart. Worrying, anxiety can affect the whole nervous system. And so worrying about life and how long you're going to live isn't going to lengthen life. If anything, it's going to shorten your life. I love what David says in Psalm 90, verse number 10. It's a principle. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and I love it, and we will fly away. Next time you sing that song, some glad morning, when this life is over, I will fly away. You relate to Psalm 90, verse number 10. You see, the songs that we sing need to be spiritual. They need to be truthful. And that's such a truthful song, a biblical song, because that's how the Bible describes death. But what I'm mentioning, the reason I'm mentioning Psalm 90 verse 10 is it's a principle. This body that God created, it's not going to last forever. And yet you see people in the world who leave God out of the picture, and as they get older, they begin to panic. Literally. They begin to panic about their life. And they began to take vitamins. They began to go all over the world to these different spas because they're thinking about their physical life. They don't know how to think outside of the box because they left God out of their life. I met with a man in this back room about 3 months ago. He is well in his 60s, and this describes him. He doesn't know God. He's never been a religious person. And he was talking to me how afraid he was because he was getting older. And he noticed that as he was getting older, he's fixing to have eye surgery and other kinds of surgeries. He's beginning to notice that this body, this earthly body was beginning to break down, and he didn't like it. And so I used that as an opportunity to talk to him about spiritual life and what's going to happen to this body and what we can expect. Now don't misunderstand me. We think about the physical body and we need to do our best to take care of it. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, bodily exercise only profits you a little. Don't allow, the point is this, don't allow that to be the focus of your life. Allow God to be the center of your life. And if anything, brethren, if anything, being obedient to God's Word can lengthen life. Read Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 2. Solomon is encouraging his son to keep the law of God, and it has the ability to lengthen life. Again, a principle. What's the principle? If you allow God to be the center of your life, you're not going to be a miserable person. You're going to be the happiest person. You're going to be a peaceful person. And physically speaking, that can help you live a longer life. That can help you live a good life. People who ignore God and take God out of the picture usually live shorter lives because they find themselves rebelling against God and doing things contrary to His Word. As Solomon says in Proverbs 13 verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. But when we listen to God and follow His ways, we can live a good life, a productive life. That doesn't mean we're going to live forever. We learn in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, it's appointed unto man once to die. Death is part of this life that we must all face and be prepared for. But it's something that we shouldn't worry about. Don't worry about the future. Verse number 27. And then the third illustration, one from fashion. And take no thought. Don't be anxious for raiment, your clothing, what you wear. And Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed, dressed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O of little faith? For some, their closet is the world to them. I mean, that is the most important thing to them. 1 Peter chapter 3, again, Peter exhorts us not to be so concerned with the outward appearance. We need to be more considerate of the inward, of the spiritual person. But here's another object lesson. And you can imagine Jesus looking at the hillside of Galilee. And looking at the lilies, by the way, this translates to wild flowers. And you can imagine the wild flowers that were growing on the hillside of Galilee. Jesus, again, uses this as an object lesson. Look at the wild flowers. Look at how God provides for them. And then Jesus says something, I believe, very interesting there in verse number 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these wild flowers. You take the most glorious material that was ever, that was created for the greatest monarch like Solomon, and you take that fine material and you put it under a microscope, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see sackcloth. But you take a petal of a flower and you put it under the microscope and you're going to see a beautiful thing. God did that. God created that. God is the one that provided that. And He is the one that provides for us. Again, another object lesson. And Jesus continues on again in verse 30. For if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven... This is how people would heat up things a lot like we do today with an oven. But they would go and they would gather that grass and they would put it in the fire to be able to heat their ovens. But again, there's a process here. And God is the one that has designed all of this. Shall He not much more... Here's the point. Shall He not much more... clothe you, O ye of little faith. Don't worry, because it's uncharacteristic of who our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father is the one that provides for us. It's unnecessary to worry because of our Heavenly Father. But notice point number two, why we shouldn't worry. Number two, it is uncharacteristic because of your faith. Listen to what Jesus says in verse number 31. And He goes back to the basic principle. Verse number 31. Therefore take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, wherewith ye shall be clothed. For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. The ideas, people without God. Jesus is talking about the world here in verse number 32. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Don't worry, because it is uncharacteristic of your faith. Don't act like the pagan world. You're not of the world. You are different than the world. We think differently. We live differently. The world's philosophy is eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. We don't worry about things like that. Our focus is on God. You see, the world doesn't have the promises of God. The world doesn't have divine resources. And so naturally, the pagan world is going to worry about the necessities of this life. But not the children of God. Because the children of God put their faith in God like Abraham. Faith in His promises. In Romans chapter 4, 20 and 21, we see that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, he is able also to perform. Look at what God has promised. I'll take care of you. And if we have the faith of Abraham, we're going to trust God and we're going to believe that God's going to keep His promises and God will carry it out. He will fulfill those promises. And so that's why Paul would say in Philippians 4, verse number 16, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember, prayer is a sign of dependency upon God. And Paul's point is very clear. If you're dependent upon God, if you're trusting in God, you're not going to be worrying about everything. And here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us something to think about. We're not going to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, because we depend upon God. How do I know I'm depending upon God? How is your prayer life? Do you pray to God? Do you thank God for what He has given us? And He has indeed blessed us. And so don't worry. It's unnecessary because of your Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Don't worry. It's uncharacteristic, number two, Jesus says, of your faith. But then number three, it's unwise because of the future. We're going to skip verse 33. We're not going to leave it out. We're going to come back to it and conclude with verse number 33. But look at the third point there in verse number 34. Why we shouldn't worry. It's unwise because of your future. By the way, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Neither do I. And that's why Solomon says in Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Solomon says, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus here in verse number 34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about the future. The future is going to have its own trouble. There are enough things that we have to deal with every day. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus, here it is, focus on being faithful today. Seek the kingdom God first today. And if we will live with that type of vision, that type of mentality, do you realize we will find ourselves being faithful every day? Don't worry about tomorrow. Appreciate every day. Appreciate the day that God has given us. Like we see in Psalm 118, verse number 24, David says, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. You see, we can be happy as God's children even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of conflict, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have no business worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Focus on being faithful today. You know, as we think about the close of this lesson, as we come back to verse number 33, this section reminds us that we are not spiritual orphans. We are not spiritual orphans. We have a loving and heavenly Father that cares for us, that's going to provide for us, and we need to learn to trust Him. And we need to learn to put our focus on the spiritual. You see, that brings us to verse number 33, and it's such a powerful, powerful verse. Instead of worrying about the basics of this life, the necessities, Jesus said, but seek the kingdom first and His righteousness. In all of these things, what things is Jesus talking about? The physical things that God provides for us on a daily basis. God will provide the physical. You seek the spiritual, and God will provide the physical. You allow God to be the center of your life, and everything else will work out. But what a challenge it is at times to seek the kingdom first, because we worry. like we see here in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus said, stop doing that. Don't start worrying. You seek the kingdom. You put the kingdom first. How do you do that? You're doing it tonight. You're seeking the kingdom first by being here tonight, worshiping God. By striving to walk in the light, you're seeking the kingdom first. By sharing the gospel with the lost and dying in the world, you're seeking the kingdom first. By helping those who are in need, you're seeking the kingdom first. By practicing the golden rule, we'll read about that in Matthew 7, verse 12, you're seeking the kingdom first. Jesus talks about how we treat our fellow man, and He even talks about how we love our enemy. You see, when we take ourselves out of the picture and replace it with Jesus Christ, and when we do things His way, we're seeking the kingdom first. There are so many different ways we can seek the kingdom, but that's what God is encouraging us to do. And not only the kingdom, but we, Jesus says, we are also, again there in verse number 33, we are to seek righteousness, the kingdom and righteousness. That has to do with how we live our lives. Living for God and putting God first and walking in the light and living godly, again, needs to be the focus of our life. That should be what we are striving to do every day of our lives. Living in a way that pleases God. In Psalm 84, verse 11, the psalmist says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walketh uprightly. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When we walk uprightly, God is not going to withhold good from us. God's going to take care of us. God is going to provide for His children. I want to conclude with the verse, and the lesson will be yours. It's a beautiful verse found in Psalm 33, verse number 5, where the psalmist encourages us to commit our ways unto the Lord. You commit your ways unto the Lord. And the psalmist goes on to say, and you trust in Him. The psalmist ends by saying, God will bring it to pass. You commit your ways to God. You trust in Him. And He will provide. He will take care of you. I hope this lesson this morning and this evening will really encourage all of us to want to serve God, to let our light shine, to put Him at the forefront, to keep Him in our thoughts. Isaiah 26, verse 21, when we keep our mind on God, He will protect us. He will take care of us. The lesson is yours this evening. If we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.